produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
This is Minister Brenda Litsolenyane, Inspirational Talk on United Kingdom Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett.
Good day, good evening, saints. Hope you are well. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The great God, the good God, the gracious God is in this place. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, the name that is above every name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Ooh-wee. Hallelujah. The Lord is so faithful. Hey, 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 hey.
I need your love today.
Thank you, Jesus. Today, today, today.
I need your love. Your grace, I need your mercy, Lord. I need your love.
Praise Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. Again, say it again today, today, now. Woo! Jesus. Maubani, as we are engaging with the word for the book of Psalm 68. Ariemo, Ariemko, Psalm 68. Just open it. Praise Jesus. Psalm 68. Hallelujah. I have loved you with an everlasting love. That's what the Lord is saying. Loved you with an everlasting love. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Praise you, Jesus. So I want us just to be reminded of what we were reading yesterday. Psalm 68, my pardon. Verse 28, summon your power, O God, show us your strength, O God, as you have done before. I jealous thou. Summon your power, O God, show us your strength, O God, as you have done before. So, Wabanoho David knew where I am, and there is a lot that my God has done for me. I've met lions, I've met Goliaths. But you know what I've done? I've conquered. Hey, Jesus. So the way, as we have done before. Hey, Jesus. So today, Ratsiba Hori, when we go through things, Uri, you will go through mighty waters, eh? You'll go through fires. Hallelujah. Because Psalm 23, Uri, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, hallelujah. So it means acknowledgement of vele. Knowledge is power. When you acknowledge, ore wena ngwana mutimu and awa bitsetswa hore o di dotshe ntotsena u bitseditswa hore o hole, because you are sent here for an assignment. Let me remind you, if God didn't really care about us, he could have said, oh my son Jesus, this is too much for you. I hear you say, if this cup, I mean, let it be your will that this cup may be taken away from me. Jesus, I hear you. Oh, my son, I don't want you to go through this. Oh, let me save you. Climb off the tree. Hey, descend. Hey. It's our feet. My grace is sufficient. Wafita. So whatever we go through, the grace of God is sufficient. So wafita koyona, and then you wonder after some months, after some weeks, after some years, well, I thought the water has reached what? They have engulfed me. They are now at my neck. The book of verse chapter 69. I'm just in deep waters, man. The floods are engulfing me. So my throat is parched, my eyes fail. I'm looking for my God. I like that. I am worn out calling for help. My throat is parched, my eyes fail, looking for my God. I man, or the day you leave it's a cutting. Na kuele wense juali. Lo na no ke kupanta timdimaka. Wete the same thing. I'm looking for you. Hey, Jesus, mamela chek. Batla ukutata. Eri, go verse 16 of chapter 69. Answer me, O Lord. Praise Jesus. Answer me, O Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, nature is also trying to invade our space. Nature, woo wee. We appreciate nature and its inhabitants. Hallelujah. So, chapter 69, verse 16. Answer me, O Lord, out of the goodness of your love. Utlafel, answer me. Akere, mole tafita rna ay, naki tepela wen. Ure, may those who hope in you not be disgraced because of me. So I'm surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. So I cannot afford to quit. I cannot afford to crack. Hey, I must hold my head high because people are looking up to me. Hallelujah. So do not hide your face. Praise Jesus. Do not hide your face from your servants. Answer me quickly. For I am in trouble. I am in trouble. I'll come near and rescue me, redeem me because of my fools. So the enemy is there. Nah, the enemy is there. And then, Eric, you know how I'm scorned, disgraced, and shamed. All my enemies are before me. Scorn has broken my heart and has left me helpless. I look for my sympathy, but there was none. For comforters, but I found none. They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst. Hey! 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 Jesus, so how, you have been scorned, you have been disgraced, you have been shamed. Your enemies are before you. Scorn has broken my heart. Bao koba, you know, and it has left you helpless. I want to bao koba. Yeah, armone. Utlafelaka. Hey, your friends are saying, Utlabono utlafelaka. Family members, Utlabono utlafelaka. More ministering, utlafelaka. More community, utlafelaka. More the relatives, utlafelaka. Mutumo. I look for sympathy, but there was none. For comforters, but I found none. Woo, instead by time, by Kenya, nyoko. As in verse 21, they put gall in my foot. How can say nyoko modi John? Let's say we're sibiti or was a fryer.
kante se na le nyoko se baba jwa. So ha o setse no o batla mantswe a strength o re batla a song o batla batho ba o save hey ake go lebetse go the Lord is your song, your strength and your salvation ba o tsella bitterness motho a o tselle vinika e le morena Jesu a fitileng ko yona. So le gona di bitterness tsa gona di tshwane mara tshwantse o fete ho yona and a o feta ho yona o tla utlwa Jesus, it may the table set before them become a snare. May it become a retribution and a trap. Akere jwana mo baba ba obetse are bone. Tell your enemies are seba to fela ba buang haholo. Ba bang ke ba yang an extra mile. Ba an extra mile ba tsamae mo le balo ba lo khonama mo le ba khonamela ka lebitso la hao. But uri tafita uri, may the table set before them become a snare. May it become retribution and a trap. May their eyes be darkened so they cannot see and their backs be bent forever. Pour out your wrath on them. Let your fierce anger overtake them. May their place be deserted. Let there be no one to dwell in their tents. Kana mona mudimu setsa ba ripilo off. Tlatlamolotsi ntate mudimu o ba stripilo off. So you are praying when I get uwa lentate mudimu. Or may their place be deserted. They were operating under false glory. Tate mudimu oko itlose glory ya hao e. Ubane bata matama nse banka glory tsarona. And Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1 iri. It arise, shine, for your light has come. So that's your glory. See, darkness covers the earth. Thick darkness covers the people, but the glory of the Lord is upon you. So it means people can operate with your light. So you need to rise up, child of God. Because why would this biblical hero talk about these matters? Ori, for they persecute those you wound and talk about the pain of those you hate. Charge them with crime upon crime. Do not let them share in your salvation. But what I love here, Gore David is just saying, God, summon your power. Show us your strength. So you need to walk through that valley of shadow of death. You need to. So that when I can say, you cannot just tell people about a place that you have never gone through. I always say it's so powerful when you say, I want to take care of young people, like the work that I'm doing. I love young people and I believe in young people. But if I've never been a deprived young person, how can I understand what deprivation, neglect, you know, self lack of love means when I haven't crossed that path? So I'm saying, go away, allow God to refine you. May the good Lord bless you. I love you as you hang in there. Amen. Stay blessed. Good evening, saints. Hope you are well. The Lord is good. His faithful is great. Your long suffering. Ooh, what a wonderful God we serve. Praise you, Jesus. Ungumoya oyingcwele. Ungumoya oyingcwele. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Ha setse o foka dintho tso sa di batleng bophelo ba hao. Ere moya o halelang o foke. Thank you, Jesus. Ha o fokele. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Imingata mimoya, but lela moya o halelang. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Mokope. Lalor u fila week, mokope. Ha u fila khathetse, mokope. Or okonkapese ka matla. Wena ka sibili. Mhlulele sibi ka mehla unketse mohale. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, ubitse. Praise Jesus. Ah, Jesus. Pelajano waikutare. You are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Hey, how nso tsamamo? Ukhathetsi. Ooh, Jesus, o ka re ka give up. O ka re ntwana e pitsa mpholo so ka re askisi ne. But mamela mona. Thank you Jesus. Do not give up. Bitsa moya. He comes like a wind of the Holy Spirit. Like the wind, he comes and blows out every heaviness. Hey! Jesus, Rabba Sata. Oh, sigcwalise ngamandla, sigcwalise ngamandla. Hey! Thank you, Jesus. Hey, praise you, Jesus. Mukupe, 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 mukupe. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The reason why I'm into the power of the Holy Spirit, He enables us. The Holy Spirit enables us. The Holy Spirit comes. It lifts. He lifts you up. Hey. Psalm 69, we are back there. Ke batla re ko verse 13. Ore ka ya ko dimo ore akere re ba dile, they mock me because of, even when I fast ba mocka, they scorn me. Yeah, they sit at the gate. Ooh, but I'm the song of the drunkards. Why it's even tricky buang kayo? Yeah. But was kayegi sumuntu watu konzunkununkun. Begin pilo ya kenje butinjan. Waze kagegisa. If you are a young man or if you are a young woman, you know what I'm talking about. Atlaruwa itwara hantle. Atla itinye tanako. Bona bupilo bahai bujoang. But I pray to you, O Lord, in the time of your favor, in your great love, O God, answer me with your sure salvation. Hey, man, moto wa dumela, hey, dibu tshuku ditaba tsena, but hey, I choose to pray to you, O Lord, in the time of your favor. Moto no understand the times and seasons, Ecclesiastes 3. Wahlalo anyara ntongule ngunalina, in the time of your favor. Kana kwa ya hao. Yaur favare. In your great love, jono mufutu kyo kya utwa. Akirun solite unkape saka mufutu aku utubani. Hey man, totena di ansharpa, left and right di ansharpa. But in the time of your favor, in your great love, oh God, answer me with your sure salvation. Utwa mnati jwang, answer me with your sure salvation. So, it means khona le dipholoso ka ntle ka mona. Batho ba tla o pholosa ba o save from the situations. Ba o save motho re etla o tla keng. Ke tla o etsetsa le hodimo le lefatshe ha o tsebe wena moretsana ka pa mohlankana. That is not true salvation. Men and women of God mo platformong ena ba tla tla batho ba re kereke ena ha e gole kereke ena yetsang. Kereke ena man batho ba teng wae ba le sona. Mamela, haiyo salvation kantlele salvation. Ele morena Jesu. Hallelujah. Hey! Ooh, hai, kiska kena mo. Ore, rescue me from the mire. Do not let me sink. Deliver me from those who hate me, from the deep waters. Oba nsa pita. Ko chapter 69 verse 2. Nsa cho jwalo. Chapter 69 verse what? Verse 14. Nsa bua ntho iwan. Rescue me from mire. From the mire. Do not let me sink. Deliver me from those who hate me. From the deep waters. Do not let the flood waters engulf me. Ay. Or the death swallow me up. Or the pit close its mouth over me. Hey! Gudumaka. I will live and not die. Hey! Premature death, I counter attack you right now. In Jesus' name, you speak those words because let not the mouth of the pit close on me. Hey! Answer me, O Lord, out of the goodness of your love. in your great mercy, turn to me. Kiamrata tafita ore. I pray to you, O Lord, in the time of your favor, in your great love. How tamu verse 16 ore. Answer me, O Lord, out of the goodness of your love. How? In your great mercy, turn to me. Out of the goodness of your what? Of your love. In the time of your favor. Utafela. Utafela munati omo. Do not hide your face from your servants. Answer me quickly, for I am in trouble. So the mercies of Lord, of the Lord are new every morning. So that's why, do not hide your face from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I am in trouble. So how le mama tateng, Lord, please come through for me. I'm in trouble. Come near and rescue me. Redeem me because of my foes. You know how I am scorned, disgraced, and shamed. Three things. You are scorned, disgraced, and shamed. Scorned, disgraced, and shamed. Hey, mamela mona. Scorned, disgraced, and shamed. Why counter attack? Oh, I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. You know, I'm delivered. I'm strengthened. Hallelujah. Because why? You serve a great God. He's good. He's great. He's gracious. He's your song. He's your salvation. And he's your strength. Hallelujah. So, you're scorned, you're disgraced, and you're ashamed. Or scorn has broken my heart and has left me helpless. I looked for sympathy, but there was none for comforters. But I found none. So why am I repeating what we read yesterday? It's because one line that stood out for me, you know, this day was that David is saying, I pray to you in the time of your favor. And kabakala legato la le kana kana. With your salvation, the sure salvation. Uchor moto usabone hore, hurilaya koba tunga utusika next. Thinking that people can help you is the last thing that you can think of. People will never be able to help you. So when all that you have to do is to rely on God, God will help you. God is a refuge. God is your fortress. So I'm saying this just to encourage you, child of God. Obstacles, yeah? Popcorn obstacles. Guti ekaya, mabang sindi siwe, abang tandi arisalimo. Mona jano remo leveling whereby you need to understand that scripture said, work out your own salvation with trembling and fear. So it means you cannot be saved if you are not living a righteous life. You need to be holy, man. You need to say, I've wronged you. Ujote mutu have wronged you. Ujote mutu nswagela watseba kibuile hampili wena. Nswagela mudimaka kamina hano yaka. We need to constantly pursue holiness. When we do that, then we'll understand what does it mean to work out your own salvation. You don't quit because the seven spirits of the church is there. Eh? The fruit of the spirit is there to help you. The armor of God is there to sustain you. So utla tsuswa ki ing mudimu ofile so much of powerhouse. Ntongulongwa uyetsa lentate mudimu. Uyetsa tsebore, he is your sure foundation. Another portion of the scripture, I think it's in the book of Isaiah, it also speaks about the Lord being our sure foundation. Praise you, Jesus. So when God is a sure foundation, when God is your salvation, utla understand gore batho ba tlo sheshela morao ha ba iketse mudimo o tshela se ka wena o wa basutisa re emelang kwa bathong emelang kwa le zamile ka masokwana nyana a lona ao gore sekepe se sie ka nqane jwanu ke nako ya ka mighty ship gore ke nka sekepe sena ke se sie ka nqane. So ha ke tloga mo ke tau ya leloko la Juda. I'm a roaring lion. No one, no demon in hell, no one, no human being can stop me. Do you hear what I'm saying? The Lord is saying that no one can stop me from redeeming you. I'm going to redeem you. Go verse 14. Where I should rescue you from the mire. Do not let me sink. Born, you won't sink, man. Get day. I'm commanding angels, you know, to carry you because I don't want your feet to strike on the stone. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good. Do not lean on your own understanding. Psalm 27, I'm the light of your salvation. Whom shall I fear? So do not fear because the Lord is your light. Hey, get arise when a shine for your light has come. Rise up, twelaula, pumlerikeledi, emela rapela man. Take your harp and dance. In Jesus' name, may the good Lord bless you, may he keep you, may he strengthen you.
This was Inspirational Talk by Minister Brenda Letsholenyane, produced by Kayla Paget on United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World.
Produced by Kayla Paget on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.
Greetings to the listeners of Finding My Way Radio everywhere in the world. This is Apostle Jezile. Today we're going to talk about the importance of feeding our spirit. It is so very key that we are watchful of our spiritual diet, because if we want to grow, if we want to have a very mature, strong, nutritious spirit, we must definitely watch our diet. Actually, we will know that we are actually in this mess that we are in now because of what we ate from the Garden of Eden, when the devil, in the form of a serpent, came to convince Eve to eat from a forbidden tree, so eat a forbidden fruit. And that led us to be in the chaos that we are in. But praise be to Jesus, who came and rescued us to such a mess. Let us find our foundational scriptures in the book of John, chapter 6, verse 35, in the King James Version of the Bible. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. This is very key, like I said in my opening statement, that one of the things we need to know, which Christ himself has highlighted, is the issue of hunger and the issue of thirst. They play a very big role in a Christian life. They plays a very, very important role in the life of a believer, because if you have to go far, you must be fed well. If you have to go far, you must not be dehydrated. He addresses two things: issues of nutrition, issues of being fed for the road, issues of being well taken care of your liquids, which he equates it to test. We know water in the Bible equates to the Holy Spirit. Bread equates to Jesus Christ. So the two are core of a Christian walk with God. You can never go far with God if you are not eating the word of God. And who is the word if it is not Christ, who was with God in the beginning, who was God? And the Bible in John chapter 1 says, and the word become a flesh. These are key things, because that which is spiritual is equated to what is natural. So there must be a very strong balance in a Christian life between what God has given us naturally to prophetically decode the spiritual issues or dimensions of what our natural realm is trying to communicate to us. No wonder the Bible says, and the nature is waiting for the true sons of God to be revealed, because there is so much spirit in nature, and there is no more, and there is so much nature in spirit. These things are more like hand in glove. Everybody has to know that when God created the universe, he made these visible things to depict to us the invisible things. So when Christ says, I am the bread of life, he who comes to me shall never hunger. In other words, Christ is saying, if you have to be strong in life, you must eat the bread of life. In John, again, he continues saying, I am the life. But again, in John, he says, I am the bread of life. That means there is life, and then there is the bread of life. So in order for you to enjoy life, in order for you to endure life, in order for you to survive life, you must not only have life, but you must also have that keeps you strong, which is the bread of life, Christ himself. He says, he who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. These are two things, taking you back to the Garden of Eden. When the serpent came to Eve, he tested him in issues of what must be eaten, because what you eat, it definitely informs who will you be. So Eve was tricked and deceived by the serpent when the serpent said to her, you must eat the fruit, for God knows that on the day you eat, you shall be like him in knowing good and evil. So when we eat, there is a level of revelation that comes to us. But that which we eat is also equated to what shall be revealed to us. Because devil says there is a food that when you eat, you become aware of what is evil and what is around you. And if that is the case, because we know there were two trees in the Garden of Eden. There was also the tree of life, which represented Christ. So in other words, then the devil can never point you to eat from that which will reveal the more of Christ in you. Whatever devil is projecting to you, revealing to you to eat, it has something to do with you feeding who he is in your life. Whatever you drink, it also reveals who he is in your life. Or if it does not reveal who he is in your life, it reveals who Christ is in your life. We can have a whole lot of examples. There is a whole lot of things that people drink. Some of such is the amount of liquor people consume, which tends to reveal who is in their heart. So what you eat or drink always reveals what is in you. Paul makes a powerful statement about eating and drinking and says, whether you eat or drink, do it for the glory of God. There must be something that which we eat reveals. So today, and I want everybody everywhere as you are listening, when you read the Bible, you must have a revelation that you are feeding your spiritual man. So in other words, you need to be conscious of what you are consuming into your spiritual man. Will it make him strong or will it make him weak? The fact of the matter is that we have Christians who are truly malnutritioned when it comes to the word. They only rely and depend from the word that comes from the pulpit. From there, they don't even go home and verify the truth of what has been preached from the pulpit. That is why we need to be very, very aware that when the word is preached, let's make a follow-up to go see that which has been preached to us, that it comes from the word of God, because that's the food that will make or break us. So as we continue with this message, I want you to also look at Daniel chapter 1, when Daniel was actually challenged with the issues of what must be eaten. When the eunuchs that was submitting to the king, Nebuchadnezzar of the time, came with a diet that was meant to be eaten by all young lads. But Daniel purposing in his heart, that is verse 18 of chapter 1, purposing in his heart, watching the delicacies that are on the king's table. because you must understand that in the issues of nutrition, it's not important to be full, because you can be full of the food that is not healthy. You can be full of the food that can make you have stomach cramps. You can be full of the food only to find that the food itself is poison. So what is very key about what you eat is not only to be full, but is also to understand what it does to you. Because there must be a change when you are on the right nutrition. Look at what these guys are saying to the eunuch, to King Nebuchadnezzar, say, give us 10 days. So in other words, when you are eating something nutritious, why should it take you 10 years to change? Why should it take you a lifetime to change? Because if it is so nutritious, it got to change you. And you are not the one who's going to say, look, I have changed. Your peers will testify that there is something about you. We all know, if we have to take this practically, when you're on a special diet, those who last saw you having gained some weight, some pounds, kgs, according to South Africa, you will find people noticing that because of the special diet that you are in, you have shed some pounds. And you don't have to say it. They will say themselves that, what is it that you are doing? We see that you have lost some weight in your life. Only then you are able to say to them, no, I'm on a special diet. So in other words, when you are on a special diet, it shows. When you're on a special diet, it does not only give you a good shape physically, it also gives you health physically. If it does act physically, imagine the spiritual diet. We can't feed on the word of God and remain the same. Christ says something profound in John chapter 6, verse 35. He says, whosoever shall come and eat of this bread shall not hunger again. So in other words, some of the worldly things that we are hungry for can only be dealt with the word. Some of the worldly things that we are so thirsty and hungry for, that thirst cannot be quenched by the things that the world offers. It can only be quenched by what the word offers. We have a beautiful example in chapter 4 of John again, when Christ has a dialogue with a woman at the well of Jacob. When he comes and starts a dialogue with, where is your husband? And he says, I have no husband, says, you have well said. That was the start of the dialogue. But the key thing in the dialogue is the issue of water. When Christ says, can you give me water that I may drink? And the Samaritan woman says, but you have nothing at all to get the water. Christ says, if you knew who asked water from you, you would actually ask water from him, because the water I will give you, you will not thirst again. Again, his revelation from above, Christ is saying that the move of this woman from one man to another man is a spiritual thirst that manifests with physical habits. So in other words, there can be physical habits that are actually pointing to your spiritual need. Remember that God is a God who is so full of grace and mercy. He will rather show up in a situation like he did to a Samaritan woman. So if we have to change our habits, if we have to change the way we look, if we have to change the way we speak, if we have to change our walk, we can only do it by taking our master's advice, who said, I am the bread of life. If you eat of this bread that I am, you shall never hunger nor thirst again. We need that because we are hungry for so many things. We need that bread because we are hungry for the things that are destructive to us and our family. We need the water that Christ says he is. so that we do not test for the things that are destructive to us. We don't need to bring things that reveals our nakedness. We need to be sober at all times. I love, this is what Paul says about the issues of drinking. He says we must not be drunk by wine that is full of dissipation. We must rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. There is also a contrast in that scripture. We must not be drunk with wine, but we must be filled with the Spirit. So in other words, when we are filled with the Spirit, therefore our quest and our test for other things is already quenched by the Spirit of God. We need to make sure that we are always filled with the Spirit of God and full with the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ. We need Christ in our life. We need the Holy Spirit in our life. Without these two in our lives, we will be found wanting things after things, fashion, cars, houses, and everything else. Actually, I think now what the gospel has turned out to be, it has turned out to be about what we wear, and it has turned out to be about what we drive. It has turned out to be where we stay. And all these things are natural signs of a spiritual cry. This is the message that I'm bringing to you across, that to feel your thirst, to feel your hunger, we need Christ. This actually became the highest test, because Christ upgraded this message from bread to meat, because he had some point he said to his disciples, if you want to be truly my disciples, you must eat my body and drink my blood. And they say, this is now too much of a teaching. And the rest left him. Only the revelator and the Peter kind of disciple was left with Christ, with a revelation that where can we go from you? Because issues of life springs from you. So it is very key that as we walk with Christ, we are able to go from one dimension of maturity to another dimension of maturity. And the only thing that can help us is to feed in the Word of God. We got to eat the Word of God. John says in the book of Revelation that I heard the word that says, eat the book. Eat is the book. And he says the book became bittersweet. We can no longer pick and choose what we need from the scriptures. We can have the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation speaking to our heart. If it rebukes us, we got to repent. If it gives us a peck on the back, we got to praise. But we can no longer pick and choose what suits us from the scriptures. We must taste the bitterness of it. We must also taste the sweetness of it. This is what Exodus chapter 12 deals with it. When Israel is about to leave Egypt, God commands them to prepare a Passover lamb. And it says you must eat the whole lamb. Nothing must be left. And that lamb was referring to the Christ who will hang on the cross later. And later, this is the Christ who reveals himself as the bread of life. Remember that they were also commanded to make bread without leaven, so that the bread stays fresh and stays longer. It is very key that the word we eat, we understand that it is for our sustenance. Remember when the word of God came to Elijah at some point and said, arise up and eat, for the road is so long. You must know that what you eat prepares you for the journey with the Lord. That is why you cannot compromise what you listen to. That is why you cannot compromise where and who prepares food for you. It is very key that you understand that the food you eat is going to prepare you for the road. We must understand that again, as we read our scripture, in the basis and in doing justice to this topic, is that in the basis basis of what we eat, we are also preparing ourselves for a journey we do not know how long it is. Only heaven knows. So in other words, whatever God provides for us, he knows that it is what we need for the journey. But having said that, as we mature in the Lord, we have also a responsibility to check what we are fed by those who are assigned to be the overseers of our souls. We must check. How do we check? Whenever a message is preached, one must go home and make a follow-up to it. Not just to criticize the message, but to make a follow-up until it sinks to your soul. I wish you hear what I'm saying. Not just go home to get a wet pen to keep what was said right and what was said wrong. There is nothing wrong with that, but the major thing should be that let me go back and eat again so that it sinks in my soul. It rejuvenates my body and refreshes my spirit and prepares me for a journey ahead. We need to eat the word of God. We need to feed in the word of God, for it is the food for our soul, body, and spirit. When we fail to do so, we do no justice to ourselves, and we can blame nobody. Paul says, by now you ought to be eating meat, but you still need milk. In other words, these are dimensions of what we eat. These are dimensions of food, and this food provides us different nutrition for our spiritual walk with God. It is not fair that one at the stage where he's supposed to be eating meat, but he is still feeding and drinking milk. We must grow up. We must upgrade from what we eat. It would not be naturally correct, neither naturally accepted, when a child forever feeds on milk and never go to solid food. By now, we need to be Christian in our churches that are ready for eating meat. Cannot again get offense from the word that came from the pulpit when you're no longer a milk Christian. You cannot be offended again by a prophecy that seeks to push you towards your destiny when you are no longer a milk Christian. Remember, meat requires teeth. You can't eat meat if you don't have teeth. That is why as you grow, you develop teeth naturally. I wish that you also do the same spiritually, because the teeth actually are preparing you for solid food, because the teeth are a sign that your body is ready for something a little bit stronger than what you have been drinking. So you must also take notice that we move from drinking to eating. It is very imperative that the Christian must understand this dimension of food and the nutrition thereof, which are a symbol spiritually, that we move from drinking to eating. At some stage, we also milk drinking with eating, because these two also works for the easily digestion of what is fed in our spiritual life. We must grow. And as we grow, we also come to a dimension where our food is not only prepared by somebody else, but is also prepared by us. So we can no longer, as we mature spiritually, blame somebody else for our growth and maturity, because we must come from drinking to eating, from eating to prepare what we need to eat, not only rely on a Sunday sermon service that is going to be dished to us by our pastor. There is nothing wrong with that. But as we mature, we must come to a place where we are also eating food that is prepared by us. That is also even more powerful, because if you prepare food yourself, you know what goes to your pot and you know what comes out of your pot to your plate. So it's very key that as a child of God, we mature in these dimensions, we launch into the deep, We are no longer children tossed to and fro. We are now matured in issues of doctrine, that there is no devil from hell that can preach a powerful message. And we say amen, because we are not sure whether it is or it is not. We must be able to say a truth from hell is equal to a lie, because there comes a time, and that time is now, where false prophets are all over the world. And they don't just come empty-handed. They come with look-alike, real prophecies and miracles. But when you are matured enough, you don't get fascinated by such. The last dimension that I want to dish out is that as you mature, you choose the things you eat and you choose the places where you eat, because you are matured. It doesn't matter how nicely decorated the food can be and the plate can be. If you are not interested, you won't eat. That is the Daniel dimension, because I know for sure the delicacies from a king's table are truly the delicacies. But it takes a mature man to say, I'm not only looking for nice things, I'm also looking for nutritious things. May the good God bless you as you digest this message in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Wherever you are listening, I pray that the Lord will bless you, will multiply you, and expand your territory as we mature and grow together in the things of the Lord. Launch into the deep. Amen and amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Good day, everyone. You're listening to United Kingdom Radio Network USA World. My name is Chief Ambassador Chi, all the way from Johannesburg, South Africa. And welcome to this broadcast today.
Brothers and sisters, this is indeed another time we have been afforded through God's grace to share the word with you. We highly appreciate the avenues in which this has been afforded unto us, and I pray that we get to learn from today's Bible session, or teaching actually, along with the Bible. I pray that we get encouraged and that we change, and we get imbued to do what is right, to do what we are commissioned to do in the body of Christ. I've come to note that in all that we do, you find that a lot of what we say behind the pulpit, even through this platform of radio, of preaching the gospel, a lot of what we say is correct, but then the key thing here is what we're failing, or what we're neglecting here, is we don't do this out of love. Something is different, way different, if it's done out of love. Correction out of love will most definitely play the part, more than correction out of hatred, out of envy, out of just strictly criticism instead of constructive criticism, which should come in a form of love. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 12. Colossians, chapter 3, verse 12. And it reads as follows. Therefore, as the elected of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, obviously what stuck out here for me is on verse 14, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. When I get corrected out of love, regardless of how wrong I may be, feeling the love that I'm going to feel from you as an individual is bound to get to me. It's bound to change me. Or maybe not change, but it's bound to make a difference compared to if it's done without love. Yes. I don't know where we get this from, where we, brothers and sisters in Christ, have neglected showing love unto our brethren, showing love unto those who need it. In fact, everyone needs love. We have been commissioned to love God's people. And in loving them, we gotta be fishers of men. But you can't be fishers of men without having love for people. Fishing them out of darkness shows much love. That you love them enough that you don't want them to burn into the eternal lake, or eternally into the lake of fire. Now that's love right there. But then the problem is, it is when it comes at a form of judgment where you will lose that individual regardless of how much of a valid point you had or have. Concerning that bad deed or deeds, but because there was lack of love, we lose a lot of our brothers and sisters who are supposed to be called into the kingdom of life, the kingdom of light. Yes, the kingdom of life, the kingdom of light. There is a reason why Lord Jesus in scripture showed compassion to people regardless of those who believed and those who didn't believe. He healed the sick. He cast out devils. He rebuked. All he did was out of love and not being judgmental. Bear something in mind, even in loving them, he never neglected to tell them the truth. He never neglected to let them know the truth. I love what one sister said before. We were conversing, and she said there was a really sweet lady who she's now into business with. She approached her proposing business, but then in the way she did it, she praised her for her attributes and how she looked. and how she's well dressed, and then she said, may she suggest a certain kind of choice of color for dress code to make her look more attractive. Coming in love and not in judgment or being judgmental. That sister has that lady as a business partner. She came to a potential client with love. And look, they've been in business for so many years and they're still in love with each other. Because she came in the form of love. When I correct you, my brother, my sister out there, about probably to my brothers out there, you know the new trend with the pants exposing their rear ends. When I correct you, my brother, out of love, that probably might not change you, but the fact that I did it out of love will plant a seed in you to consider what I'm saying then to you. When you're sitting on your own, you will probably, most probably, give some thought into what I was trying to get across to you, because it came in the form of love. Now, if it comes in the form of being judgmental, try to get to that person. You can never get to that person. You harden their hearts. And look, we are just commissioned to get the word forth to people. We are not commissioned to change people. That is for God to do. We are just commissioned to serve the message, pass on the word. And God will do his part as we do our part. In the process, we need to do it out of love. Because it is important on how we handle God's people. Here's a word of scripture in the book of 1 John 4, verse 18. To those of you who really don't get what love is, get some piece of idea about what love is about from the word of scripture. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made in perfect love. Love should not be taken lightly in believers in Christ, my brothers and sisters. Jesus hung on the cross. Jesus gave himself as a living sacrifice. Yes, out of obedience to God and out of love for us. For if it was not out of love, the impact, no, it would not have happened in the very first place. It is important how we handle God's people. Regardless of how right you may feel, my brother, my sister, let us make sure that we do it out of love. We correct out of love. As some of you out there, my brothers and my sisters, who grew up with corporal punishment, we're being disciplined out of love. It is not out of hatred. Some is abuse, but I'm speaking from my end. For me, it was done out of love. And that same love shaped me into the man that I am today. For I know what's good and what's not good, because I have been afforded the opportunity to be corrected out of love. Let us read from the book of Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 verse 21. And it reads as follows. Excuse me. Mark chapter 5 verse 21. It says, now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Jesus immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? He looked around to see her who had done this. Who had done this thing? But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult, and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and mother of the child and those who were with him, and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by hand and said to her, Talita kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. And they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given to her to eat. Now, with this woman at the fountain here, Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Even when the daughter of the synagogue ruler died, Jesus said, only believe. Don't be afraid, only believe. And indeed, the girl arose. That takes love right there. Even after they ridiculed Jesus, he cursed them all out. He took them all out, actually. He led all these people who ridiculed him out and only took those relevant people who were needed to be present and told this girl to rise up and walk. And she started walking. The message I'm trying to get through here is love. It needs love to take you to do such a thing. And that is the love that God has commissioned us to do. If there is anything you should owe anyone, it should be nothing but love. Even your enemy. You are commanded to love your neighbor as yourself, it says in the Bible. Even those that persecute you, even those that despise and use you, love them. You are obligated to love them. It is not optional. It is not negotiable. It is a command from God that you love your neighbor. Even love those that mistreat you. Let us read from the book of Matthew 13. It reads as follows. Oh, Matthew 2 verse 13. Pardon me. Matthew chapter 2 verse 13. And it reads as follows. Then he went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to him, and he taught them. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now it happened, as he was dining in Levi's house, that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eating with tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, "How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." You must know, to sit with people and to eat with them, it has a covenant to it. It means we're not fighting. You need love. You need some degree of love to be sitting and dining with someone. And look, Jesus defended the sinners and the tax collectors and said, "Who needs a physician? Is it the sick or those who are not sick and in need of a physician?" You need love. But now, here's the cherry on top that really got to me. Yes, I know Jesus hanging on the cross, although with this one, for today. But not that it is higher than Jesus hanging naked on the cross for us to die for our sins. Although this one just really got to me. I could say it's probably second to dying on the cross and hanging naked, dying for our sins and becoming sin for us who have sins. It says, this was after John the Baptist got, beheaded on the order of Herod, a very evil ruler, who the wife of his brother, his daughter, pleased Herod so much that he gave an oath that he would give her anything. And she went and asked, over the consent of the mother, demanded the head of John the Baptist on a silver platter, and it was done. So the disciples of John the Baptist came and took his body, reported this to Jesus, and it says on Matthew 14 verse 13, when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Did you see what happened there? Jesus looked at them with compassion, regardless of how he was feeling. He looked at them with compassion and healed their sick. But not just that, let's continue. verse 15. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 basketful of fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. With compassion, regardless of how Jesus felt, he still healed the sick, still laid hands on them, and not just that, he fed them. Believers in Christ, let's never neglect love in all that we do. We are obligated to love God's people. We are obligated to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, as the Bible says. Don't forget, this is not optional. This is not negotiable. You are to love God's people. You are to love your neighbor.
Well, that's all we had time for today. Let us meet next week, same time, same place, the Lord willing. This is your radio station, United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World. My name is Chico Tu, all the way from Joburg, South Africa. God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
To you all, this is Dr. Anna Makana from South Africa. This is such a blessing to reconnect with you again on Finding My Way Radio Network, and the program is Refreshing Time, and I trust that the Lord will refresh your spirit and renew your mind through His Word today. Today I want us to talk about the topic, rest in God. Rest in God, and just know that God is fighting for you. We need to rest in God and be at peace with ourselves, be at peace with God, to stay calm and give God all our worries and then rest. So that is what we're talking about today, to rest in God, to be at peace, to be calm, not because of everything is going well, not because of everything is running smooth, but because we know that God is in control. And our key verse is found in Acts chapter 7, verse 34. It reads as follows: I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groaning, and I have come down to set them free. And we need to understand that in everything that we go through, God sees. You have to understand that in the situation that you are in right now, God sees and God hears all of our prayers whenever we pray. And God desires us to be free in every situation that we come across. It is in the desire of God that as much as we come through a lot of things in life, but he wants us to live in peace. Not because of everything it is well, but because we know that God is in control and that the situations that come into our lives, they are not permanent, but is a temporary situation. So we need to understand that we need to find rest in God, and we need to trust God in everything. We need to just learn to give it all to God, to surrender our problems to him, to surrender every challenge, every hard time. We need to surrender all to him. That's what God wants. He wants us to understand that he has a role to play in our life. And his role is to give us freedom and to give us a peace, the inner peace within ourselves. Yes, it does not mean that as we are the children of God, then we won't come across certain things in life. We won't come across quite a lot of things. In fact, if we read the book of Job, we will realize that Job, he was a faithful servant of God. He was faithful. He trusted God with his life. But God allowed Job to go through certain challenges in life. And we need to understand that it does not mean that if we are his people, then we won't face challenges. Because challenges, in actual fact, they make us. Challenges, they are there to build a character. Challenges, they make us to be strong people that we are today. And we need to understand that we have to go through certain hard times in life so that we can see God and understand him in a better position. So Job, he allowed Job to go through a difficult time. When we read the book of Job from chapter number 1 to chapter number 42, when Job, he was restored fully, then we realize that Job, as much as he went through so much in life, he trusted God. He had confidence in God. He had confidence in the ability of God. There is no time in his life where he felt like God has forsaken him, because he understood that God will never leave him and God will never forsake him. And we have to understand that in the midst of our storms, in the midst of challenges of life, we have to be in that understanding that God will never leave us, God will never forsake us, and God will continuously come through for us. God will see us through. He is the one who will make a way when we see everything is no way. You know, I think this is what made Job to remain at peace and to be at calm, knowing that God, he is in control, knowing that God, he can make a way where there is no way, knowing that God, he is the hope for the hopeless. Job had confidence in the power of God, that even if when he was going through a difficult time, losing his loved ones, losing his businesses, losing everything around him, and losing even his dignity, you know, there was no time that he once felt that he was left alone. Hence, we find him saying, I know my Redeemer lives. And we need to remind ourselves in time of a storm and in time of difficult times, that we have a Redeemer, and our Redeemer lives, and our Redeemer sees, our Redeemer hears, and our Redeemer wants to see us free. Well, so the verse that we read says, I have seen the oppression of my people. God has seen the difficult times that you've been through. God has seen your pain. God has seen your suffering. God has seen your oppression. And his desire right now for you is to set you free. And how is God going to set you free? God set us free by sending us his letter. He set us free by giving us an assurance that he is there with us. There is no way that God can leave us alone. In fact, when we read the word of God in Isaiah 43, verse number 2 and 3, the word of God says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep you over. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you up there. So we need to be at peace as much as we want tomorrow holds, as much as we don't know how is it, how changes that we need to be at peace of mind, knowing that we are never alone. God is with us. Whenever we go through us, God is there with us. Whenever we go through the fire, God is with us. And that should give us a relief in our hearts and relief even in our minds, knowing that God, he is there with us. When we read Philippians chapter number 4, verse 6 to 7, it says, do not be anxious about anything. Do not worry. Yes, there might be challenges that you're going through. There might be difficult times that you are faced with right now. But the word of God is encouraging us not to worry. Not to worry, cast every worry unto the Lord. Let every worry be... cast every worry unto the Lord. Let God carry every burden that you are carrying. And once we learn to do that even if we are faced with difficult times, let us have that moment where we need to sit and think of the things that we're going through, and to understand that it is not for us to find solutions to fix everything that we are faced with, but it is for God to do it on our behalf. So it says, do not worry about anything. Even though the situation may seem like it's stronger and it may seem like there will be no solution tomorrow, but you need to be at peace and say within yourself, God is in control and God will never fail us. So do not worry, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And this, to me, it says to me, we need to learn to just cast everything unto the Lord and leave it right there, because immediately you give it unto God. You don't have to keep on thinking and thinking over and over about it, but give it to God and hand it over to him and leave it right in his hands. He knows what to do with our challenges. God does not want to see us carry heavy burdens, but he wants us to give him our heavy burdens. And he wants us, when we go through a difficult time, James chapter number 1, verse 2 says, consider it all joy whenever you are faced with trials of many kinds. God, when we go through a difficult time, he wants us to consider it all joy, to rejoice in him, to rejoice, to know that he is there. And he is there, not just there to watch us, but he is there to set us free. And we need to remind ourselves constantly that God sees, that God hears, and God sets free. And God will not look at you, just look at you and not do anything. But God wants you to trust that he is God. He wants you to trust in his ability. He wants you to trust that you cannot fix it all, but he can fix it all for you. We don't have to carry our heavy burdens. We don't have to carry our marriages anymore. We don't have to carry the challenges we are faced with in our marriages anymore. But we need to cast every issue that we are faced with in our marriages to him. And God will see us through. We don't have to go through the financial difficulties alone. We don't have to try and find solutions by ourselves. But God says unto us, come to me, and I will give you rest. In fact, in Matthew chapter number 11, verse 28, it says, come unto me, all who are content. God wants us to be at rest, not to wrestle, but to be at rest. When we sleep, we must sleep at peace and wake up in peace. That's what God wants from us, to be at rest. So he's making an invitation to everyone. He says, all who are weary, you can't take any more overwhelmed. say, and he has opened his arms wide open for you to come to him, and God will give you rest. Rest and to live at peace. He has a calm, calm midst of the storm. The storm. And see God as a powerful God, even in the midst of the storm. This is my book that I need. It's because in the midst of the storm, Job found peace. He had peace in mind, peace in his heart, peace in his spirit, and peace in his soul. And God was. Our surrounding, our environment must be full of his peace in the midst of the storm. And that's from within us. We need to believe it within us that we are never alone. We need to believe it within us that if God open an invitation to say unto us, come unto me. He wants to give us rest, and he wants to carry the burdens on our behalf. We don't have to carry the burdens anymore, but God, we have to give them all unto the Lord. I know when we go through difficult times, sometimes we tend to believe we are alone. Sometimes circumstances might be so too much on us, and we believe that God cannot see. We believe that God cannot even hear us. Sometimes we believe God has forgotten, but you need to get that out of your mind because it is not true. The truth is God sees you. God hears every prayer that you make. Some of the prayers we can't even make them as we want them to be. But sometimes we just sit there and we just cry. God can analyze even our tears. And that's what brings joy even into my heart, to know that God can read our tears. God can read even our prayers. Sometimes we don't know how to even express ourselves, how we feel exactly about the situations that we go through. But there is a Holy Spirit that is there to plead on our behalf. And immediately we have peace, and the Holy Spirit has pleaded on our behalf. We need to be at rest in our spirit. God there, and he is concerned of our well-being. He is concerned. He wants to see us happy. He wants to see us at peace. He wants to see us living a life that is free from worries. And it is possible. It is possible to live a life that is free from worries. You just have to train yourself and your mind to say that I have a big God who is able to carry me, my family. He's a thing of mine. You need to trust him like that. Each and every day, give yourself a time where you sit with God and you tell him all about your worries, all about your challenges, all about your issues, all about your frustrations, all about your confusion. Make that time each and every day and just tell God how you feel about. Be transparent with him, and you see the peace that you will experience in your life. The peace that will flood your heart, will flood your mind, will flood your body surrounding. The reason why we are not at peace is because we don't cast everything unto him. We tell him, we tell him that God, this is what I'm going through. But afterwards, we still want to go through. Over and over again. Immediately you give it unto God, you hand it over to God, leave it right there, because God knows exactly what to do with our challenges. With Job, we see Job that he went through a difficult time, he went through a rough time, but he understood that he is never alone. He understood that God is always there with him, and he understood that God, his faithful God, he keeps to all his promises. And he understood that even whatever that he's going through, God knew about it before it even happened. And we need to understand that everything that we are faced with even today, knew about it. God knows about it. God knew about it. Way before it happened, God knew about it. And there is sufficient grace for us even whenever we're going through such a difficult time in our lives. God wants us to trust in him. God wants us to rest in him. God wants us to rest in his presence. Psalm 91:1 says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Whoever lives in the presence of the Lord, live in the presence of the Lord every day. When you go through a good time and whenever you go through a bad time, live in the presence of the Lord. Never leave the presence of the Lord, but dwell right there where God is. Because where God is, the word of God says there is freedom. Where he is, there is joy. And we need to train ourselves to say, I will dwell in the shelter of the Most High God. Because when we dwell in the shelter of the Most High God, then we will find rest. There is rest when we dwell in God. And God wants us to live in his presence. I think this is why David said in Psalms 23 that the Lord is indeed my shepherd and I shall not want. And verse number 6, David says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because he understood that goodness and mercy, peace, and everything else will follow us when we dwell in the presence of the Lord. There is rest for me and you in the presence of the Lord. And we need to understand that God, as much as we go through a challenging time, we shouldn't leave the presence of the Lord. We shouldn't think our friends can help us more than God. But God should be the first we run to. Everything that we are faced with, whenever we want to report something, God should be our first. And when God has spoken over our lives, there is so much peace and there's so much comfort and there is so much assurance that we are never alone. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that when we go through challenges, let us dwell in the shelter of the Most High God. Let us find ourselves in his presence. Let us praise, worship him. Let us pray in his presence. Always spend time in his presence. Then we will find ourselves. And that is what having rest in him, having in him, and living joy. The verse in James 1, verse number 2, God wants us to see us rejoicing even when we go trials, when we go through him. He wants us to come with and know whatever challenge that has come through your life, it is just for a moment. And it is just for a moment. It is not there to stay forever in our lives. And God wants us to live it and to believe it. Remember that God, in everything that you're going through, whatever that you are faced with, the difficulty that you are passing through now, God is aware. God sees and God hears you. God will set you free from that situation. But you need to trust in him. You need to give it all unto him. You need to surrender it unto God. It does not matter how complicated it may seem. It doesn't matter if it looks like it will not be resolved. Trust that God will be able to handle it. God wants to carry your burdens. God wants you to make him involved in your daily life. When we read Psalm 27, verse number 5, the word of God says, for in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his secret tent and set me high upon the rock. In the day of trouble, you need to know that God is not going to just watch and leave you there. In the day of trouble, God hides us. God keeps us safe. He is our hiding place. He is our place of safety. And God wants us to understand that whenever we go through something bad that is happening in our lives, we need to get to understand that I'm left alone, but he is with us. There is rest in God. There is rest in God. There is rest in God. And that's what God wants us to do. Be at peace, child of God. Be at peace. You are not alone. Be at peace. peace and trust. Be at peace and know that God is in control. Know that God, in the midst of that storm, know that God is right there with you. And He wants to love you right there in the storm. He wants to comfort you. He wants you to put His presence all unto Him. Let Him carry the burden unto you. The Word of God encourages us to cast our cares upon Him, because God cares more than any other person that we know. And we need to fight in that God, to know that He cares, deeply cares for us, and He deeply loves us. So whatever situation that we come across, we have to have this understanding that God cares deeply for our lives. The seasons we have, there will be seasons where it is a season of joy. It is a season of great breakthroughs in life. And there are seasons that will come across, the seasons which are the seasons where we're experiencing tough times. But when we experience a tough time, surrender every situation unto God. Surrender everything unto God and leave it safe in His hands. God will see you through. There is peace that is so much sufficient for me and you. And the grace of God will see us through every challenge. Every time we feel that we are running out of strength, God is there to renew our strength. Whenever we feel like we are hopeless, He is there to give us hope. Whenever we feel like we are now losing our faith, God is there to increase our faith. And He wants us to let us involve Him. Let Him be part of our life. Let Him be part of our journey. Let Him be part of our day-to-day life, decisions that we make. And let Him be involved every hour, involve God in the issues of your life. There shouldn't be a moment, or there shouldn't be a challenge where you take it that this one is too small for God, this one is too big for God. There's no challenge too small for Him. There is no challenge that is too big for Him. He can take it all, and we need to hand it over, and hand it over to God, and keep handing it over unto Him so that we may be peace and at rest. Verse number 7, it says, when we do not worry about anything and learn to pray about everything, verse number 7 says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart, will guard your heart and mind. May the peace of God guard your heart, and may the peace of God guard your mind. In Jesus' name, let us pray. Father, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, we surrender it all unto you today. We surrender our marriages, we surrender financial difficulties, we surrender all hardships, the temptations, the trials that we are faced with unto you. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you give every child of God the peace of mind that surpasses all understanding. Let your peace be over their mind and over their body and over their soul. Let your peace fill their environment right now in the name of Jesus Christ. May your peace cut their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.